How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons.
So often those contemporary issues are used to polarize. We see them as calling us together to convene. Our unity is within our diversity.
That's just nonsense. Of course, if you have diversity on key core Christian teachings and doctrines, you've got big-time problems.
Whole fitness for Jesus. I do feel a spiritual connection whenever you have the music on and it's singing about lifting you up and being closer to God. You do feel that.
Pop American Christianity, in an ill-fated attempt to get the gospel out, has really asked the world what it wants.
Washington jet drivers love issues, etc.
Well, when Friday rolls around, even a Friday like this, one that is not going to end for us or our listeners until, well, Saturday, about an hour from now, issues, etc., 24 begins, 24 live, continuous hours of issues, etc., Bible study. That means that you can listen, and I mean you can literally listen. If you can stay awake for 24 hours for live issues, etc., Bible study, we're going to do 12 books of the Bible. And each one of those books we're going to devote 2 hours to, one guest each. That means 12 great guests. Dr. Ken Scher will kick it off. We'll do 2 hours on the book of Acts starting here in about an hour. When you got a Friday like this, we would be tempted not to think of our listeners as we prepare, but we do think of our listeners as we prepare. And that means we give our listeners a say through issues, etc., comment line, the email as usual on Fridays, and then we'll pick issues, etc., blog of the week. And then after that, on this Friday afternoon, April the 8th, as promised, issues, etc., 24 kicks off. By the way, you can listen for those 24 hours at issuesetc.org. And you can also contact us during those 24 hours. We're anxious to hear from you. Questions and comments on those books of the Bible from those great guests. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet @issuesetc, and we'll give you an opportunity for your input as well during those 24 hours at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. We always start with listener email and the issues, etc. comment line. I think we have a little bit of both, and then we'll pick blog of the week.
Here's an email regarding issues, etc., 24, from Kimo, listening in Finland. He says, another issues, etc., 24, brilliant. Too bad I found out about it only now, since I really wanted to do this properly, but that's life for all of us. I felt the season deserved a 24-style lead-in to the tune of the Jack Bauer monologue in the beginning of each episode of 24. Time didn't permit to make an MP3, but here's what I came up on a short notice. This is what
If he had time, he would have
produced this. The stronghold of Orthodox Lutheranism in a world gone evangelical. Their own shut them down, only to find out some things are too powerful to die. Now, they're once again in over their heads. Three courageous men going at it for 24 hours straight against 12 hard-boiled experts. No timeouts, no intermissions, no quarter breaks. You'd think we'd learn our lesson the last time around. We are the Issues Etc. team, and this is the longest day of the year. Welcome to Issues Etc. 24. And Kimo concludes, use it or ridicule it, whatever suits your fancy. In the meantime, caffeine, jump rope, bad jokes, good theology, anything that gets you through the long haul. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in Finland, Kimo.
You know, I'm tempted to call Michael come up and have him stop by the studio and record that for us, because that's good. And I'd love it. We should have Michael in to record that for us in the little time left to us, maybe between now and when Issues Etc. 24 starts, because that's good, Jeff. I don't think we could have done better ourselves. In fact, I partly suspect that Jeff might have be posing as where was he from? Sweden?
Finland.
Close. Finland. It sounds like Jeff might be posing as this Finlandian listener, but that's how smart our listeners are. Thank you very much. Thanks for listening in Finland. And we hope we live up to expectations. We know our guests will during Issues Etc. 24. Let's see. There was one other thing I was going to say about that. It does make it sound like a lot more adventure than it really is. I mean, if people actually come by to visit, and we welcome people coming by to visit during Issues Etc. 24, especially in the wee hours of the morning, it might actually help us get through. It sounds like a greater adventure than it really is. It is. I'm looking forward to, I've told people, I'm looking forward to the first 8 hours, and I'm looking forward to the last 8 hours. What I'm not particularly looking forward to, for only my own selfish reasons, are the middle 8 hours, which are the middle 8 hours of darkness. But I'm kind of looking forward to those for a different reason. That is because we've got the Aussies during four of those 8 hours. And for, what is it?
From 2 to 4 Central Time, Dr. John Kleinig's on talking about Psalms. And from 4 to 6 Central Time, Dr. Greg Lockwood will be on talking about the Gospel of John, Central.
And somebody's doing, midnight to 2 is
Brian Wolfmiller.
Brian Wolfmiller. So Isaiah. He can keep me awake on through that stuff. But it's going to be, you know what I'm missing? You know what I'm missing this Friday? I mean, not today, but tomorrow, Saturday. You know what I'm missing? The Sheep Festival in Monroe County, Waterloo, Illinois. I haven't missed it for going on 15, 16, maybe even 20 years. Haven't missed this thing. I go to it every year. I know. That's how I amuse myself. And this year, for my listeners, I am missing the Sheep Festival in Monroe County for tomorrow's Saturday edition of Issues Etc. 20. Don't shake your head until you've actually attended a Sheep Festival. There's food. There's entertainment. There's clog dancing, one of my favorite things in the world. There are border collies running the sheep. There are little lambs running around. There are stock. They have kids playing, what do they call it? Some kind of bingo where the sheep is put into a pen, and wherever the sheep relieves himself, that's the bingo number. They have kids wrestling sheep. They have kids doing obstacle courses. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It's everything sheep and sheep related. And I'm missing it on Saturday for Issues Etc. 24. My wife is going to go and pick me up some stuff to eat when I get home, but it's not the same.
Are the good old boys in Monroe County aware that they might have postponed the whole thing just if they were aware of your presence?
I seriously doubt it.
No.
I seriously doubt it.
Okay. No, hey, you know what I think is most intriguing? The most intriguing 4 hours, and people think, wow, this must have been set up on purpose. 8 to 10 Central tonight, we've got Dr. Andrew Steinman on the Book of Daniel, followed by 10 to midnight Central, Jonathan Fisk on the Book of Revelation.
Oh, I hadn't even thought
Daniel,
about that.
Daniel, Revelation, back to back.
What a way to spend your Friday evening. What a way to spend your Friday evening. And two great guests, by the way. That's what I'm always proud about in Issues Etc. 24. We have so many great guests to choose from. We actually have to leave good guests out when we narrow it down. I mean, really, really good guests. We have to leave really good guests out when we narrow it down to 12 for the 24 hours of Issues Etc. 24.
This is Herman calling April 7th. In anticipation of the 24-hour Bible study marathon, in order to facilitate the stamina there, in addition to the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, I'm thinking about the coffee maker at the Issues Etc. office suite. If it's one of these modern high-tech jobs with a lot of computer controls on it and all those features, may want to just follow the instructions to keep it clean if it needs to be that. Otherwise, if it's one of the older type, you can run about a 50-50% mixture of white vinegar and water through it a couple of times and run some water through it and clean it out, get it limbered up for the marathon coming up if the staff needs the fortification of the coffee to help in go through the period of time. So just a suggestion there. Thank you very much.
We'll put Craig on that. He spent the last couple of days worrying about a new computer that we have here and running cable. But we'll put Craig on coffee machine cleaning duty.
Are you serious? You're going to let Craig go close to anything coffee related?
So are you going to be in charge of all the – is this going to be a hands-on operation for you, the coffee during issues, et cetera, 24? Because this is where that whole controversy began.
You better believe it. You better believe it. So no ways, Craig. As a matter of fact
– we've had listeners send us a bunch of coffee.
Craig's got some people to thank here, actually.
All right.
Yeah, it's kind of like a running joke and a short story. One day a package came in from Bonnie Fox. Bonnie looks – the Dunkin' Donuts coffee, I can't wait to try it. It looks awesome. Thank you very much. And then we got another package of coffee from Paul Weirman, which thank you very much, Paul. That's another great type of coffee there that we'll be able to try and enjoy for some time to come. And then yesterday, another listener, Gary Zimmerman, all the way from Hawaii, sent us some Kona coffee.
We start with the Kona. No offense to anyone else, but we will start with the Kona.
So this is the running joke that is going to get us 6 months of coffee, and we won't have to go back to the Folgers for a long time. But thank you very much for the coffee, and I get the joke.
All right, good. It sounds like we're well provisioned there. I think we got an email from someone who said they're going to bring us some breakfast.
Yes, Mark Dial in Columbia, Illinois. By the way, Bonnie Fox are from Kansas and Paul Weirman from Milwaukee. Thank you very much for the coffee. You know, somebody else to thank? We need to thank Concordia Publishing House. We haven't made this known, but every 2 hours, if you make a donation of $100 or more during that two-hour time slot for that book of the Bible, we're going to draw. Someone gets the Lutheran Study Bible, courtesy of Concordia Publishing House. And for any size donation during that 2 hour, we'll draw every 2 hours. We're going to draw God's Word for Today, a Bible study from Concordia Publishing House on the particular book that we're studying at that moment.
So we're going to be giving away stuff during every 2 hours. Are we staggering those two, or are we drawing at the same time? Are we going to draw for the Bible?
No, we'll do them at the end of each two-hour increment.
All right, good, good. So there's more than just good radio and good coffee. There's going to be good books as well given away to our good listeners. It's Friday afternoon, April the 8th, the hour before Issues Etc. 24 begins. We're going through listener email and the comment line.
The beautiful shoreline, the calming sound of Lake Michigan, the glorious sunrise, the warm June afternoons. This is Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, June 11th through the 14th, 2011. The program? Dr. Paul L. Meyer, professor of history at Western Michigan University and frequent guest on Issues Etc. The topic? The Crescent and the Cross, Islam and Christianity. Dr. Meyer will cover the historical background of Muhammad, the rise of Islam around the world, the beliefs and practices of this world religion, and what its future may hold. In addition, the four-day, three-night Luther Hostel includes interesting day trips to area attractions. For details how you can register for Wisconsin Lakeshore Luther Hostel, sponsored by the Concordia Bible Institute on the campus of Concordia University, Wisconsin, visit the Concordia Bible Institute website at www.concordiabible.org or phone 262-243-4343.
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 42 minutes. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
What does God's Word teach about prayer, the Holy Spirit, baptism, angels and demons, the Lord's Supper, creation, marriage and family, predestination, and the end times? Find out with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, The Lutheran Difference. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Lutheran Difference by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, The Lutheran Difference. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line this Friday afternoon, April the 8th. Keep in mind that we're looking for your input during Issues Etc. 24. That helps keep the conversation moving and the host's mind engaged. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet anytime at issuesetc, or we'll give you an opportunity to contribute to the conversation as well at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
Lots of email regarding your interview earlier in the week with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller reviewing the three top praise and worship songs. This is Albert in Mission Viejo, California. He says, can worship also be understood in a law-gospel paradigm? Law worship corresponding to our bringing praises and sacrifices to God, and gospel worship being our receiving the gifts of God. Is this a fair statement? If so, wouldn't law worship function in the same way as the Old Testament sacrificial system, and would therefore completely miss the mark since Christ himself is our sacrifice? Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in California. Albert.
Well, I think you can understand, if you're talking about a theology of worship that is oriented around what man does, you are definitely dealing with a legal view of worship, a legalistic view. I'd even go so far as to say that. And if you're dealing with the scriptural view of worship, which is what God does through Jesus Christ when he brings us through his means of grace, through the preaching of Christ and baptism and the Lord's Supper and absolution, the forgiveness of all our sins, that is, without a doubt, a gospel way of understanding, and it is the scriptural way of understanding Christian worship. You wouldn't know it by what most Christians do on Sunday morning. Most of them think that they're to do something for God. And then they have guys like Rick Warren telling them that they're there to do something for God. They're there to, God needs something, they need to provide it for him. He doesn't say God needs anything. Because maybe he's too clever to say God needs anything, but he definitely makes sure everybody knows that, as far as he's concerned, that's Rick Warren, you're there to do something for God. You're there to benefit God, not yourself. What a backward way of viewing our God, and therefore a backward way of viewing worship. Now, as to the question of the Old Testament system, let's not misunderstand what the Old Testament system was. It was not deficient in that it didn't do anything, or that it was misguided. It was, after all, commanded by God. The Old Testament sacrificial system was commanded by God. It was, they were, I think we can safely say, small s sacrifices, small s sacraments, that all pointed forward to their fulfillment in Jesus Christ, by which the people really did receive the forgiveness of sins. But they received the forgiveness of sins not because, this is what the book of Hebrews makes quite clear, they received those forgiveness of sins not because of the blood of bulls and goats and oxen on Jewish altars slain, no, but because of faith in the fulfillment of those sacrifices in Jesus Christ himself. So the Old Testament sacrificial system of worship was not deficient in that it ran the way of the law. It was deficient in that it was awaiting a fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Now, the people certainly misunderstood it to be what they did for God. But that's not how God gave it. God gave it as his means of dispensing forgiveness to his people through the sacrifices that pointed forward to Christ. Their deficiency is, as the writer to the Hebrews says, they were the shadow. There's nothing wrong with the shadow. But the shadow becomes unnecessary when it is fulfilled in the substance. But without a substance, there is no shadow. Without a substance, that is Christ fulfilling all of these things in his death and resurrection, there can be no shadow. So think about it this way. The cross of Christ casts its shadow back in time into the Old Testament, and that shadow looks like temple worship, which, exercised in faith, really did deliver what God promised to deliver there, and that is his mercy and his forgiving presence among his people.
Here's another one on your interview on praise and worship music with Pastor Wolfmiller, Frank and Carrie, Illinois. As a former evangelical/Pentecostal/seeker church, I was a bass player and we played it all, pro level too. It's all about moving the crowd, teasing them into a mystical frenzy, period. We worked on how to get a response from stage presence to music selection. This is to get a response or feeling, because without the means of grace, you have the means of man. inventions to move people in essence toward where you want to move them to give or to respond to a sermon. As a Lutheran convert, Calvary Lutheran Church in Elgin, Illinois, I can say what we have is better and points you to Christ, not to oneself. To see Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations go the contemporary format really turns my stomach. I can't even play the stuff anymore. It makes me nauseous and want to toss my cookies, concludes Frank in Cary, Illinois.
And we need to understand here, the first part of his email is quite true. For those who practice this, and I'm talking about for those who practice it who don't know better or who don't have a reason to know better, what else do you have on Sunday morning if you do not have a biblical teaching of God's means of grace, again, preaching and his sacraments? If you do not have a biblical view of that out of just ignorance, no one has ever taught it to you, no one has ever shown it to you, what else do you have than to try and create some kind of an experience emotionally in yourself to convince yourself that that experience is God's presence, to convince yourself that this somehow bridges the gap between you and God? What else do you have? I mean, this is why the pagans worship the way they do, because they don't have a right view of God and the way God deals with us. Now, on the other hand, there are many who worship this way, that is, trying to stir up an experience within themselves and convince themselves that this must be God and that this is bridging the gap between God and themselves, who should know better. And I speak here of my fellow Lutherans who have abandoned Christ's means of grace for this mystical, emotional experience that can only be generated by the proper volume of music and movement of the light show and a little bit of smoke machine and then some strongly motivating words by the pastor and then a little bit more music with the volume going up and then reaching its crescendo and then finally dying off and having a little cool down period at the end. They forsaken Christ's means of grace for emotional manipulation. They should know better. It's hard for me to blame the local box church, the non-denominational church that has never been exposed to the scriptural teaching on how God deals with sinners on Sunday morning for how they worship. They worship in accordance with how they believe. I can't explain why people who call themselves a Lutheran worship that way, because if they believe as Lutherans do, it certainly, most certainly, is not in accordance with what they believe, or at least with what they say they believe.
This is Paul in Milwaukee. Pardon me for interrupting Issues 24 preparations on top of regular work, but time is somewhat of the essence. To explain, I suggest that the 24 segment with Dr. Just would be a good time to add some material to make the recent effort on the Didache complete. For example, how big is the document? That is to say, how many words? How was it found and by whom? What happened to it before it came to the attention of the scholarly community? How was it initially analyzed? Where is it? I recall an end of it was mentioned, but is there a definite beginning of the document? Are there physical gaps in the original document? How was the possibility of forgery eliminated? Could a list of the parts in order be given on the program? Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much. Well, we certainly did not cover all the bases of the Didache. In fact, I was talking to someone after our conversation with Dr. Just recently on the Didache, and I think it's the first one that we've devoted an entire hour and a show solely to that very ancient New Testament era document. And you can hear the interview with Dr. Just, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. He's there from this week. An excellent conversation. We were trying to cover its content, and even then, because given only an hour, we really had to just skim the surface and not deal with a lot of, what shall we say, a lot of the historical things that we would normally deal with when dealing with the book of the Bible. This was an introduction to the Didache, and of course, more can be done and more will be done on the Didache in the future on issues, etc. But we were dealing within the time constraints, and I think it was best to deal with the content of this ancient document rather than go immediately to all the historical circumstances that surround it. We can cover that in a future conversation on the Didache.
I'm kicking myself, though. Those are all very good questions.
No, they're very good questions.
The content is more important, but especially it's the first time we've really dealt in depth on something like that. We should have gotten more into the background in the history of it.
Well, so, I mean, we certainly should have been asking the questions about when was it found. The problem with those kind of questions is, and I'm speaking only as the host here, they're very necessary questions. But the problem with those questions in terms of our time constraints is that it would have meant really hurrying through some content later that we probably really should not have been hurrying through. So we got through, I would say, I mean, if I'm just estimating what we got through in terms of dealing with the details of the Didache during that hour-long conversation, we got through about 30% of it. Not 30% of the content, but 30% of what we could have gone through in terms of providing those kind of details. So we'll follow up. And thank you very much for the suggestion.
But no, we won't be asking during Issues Etc. 24. Otherwise, people will be complaining, how come you didn't ask these questions about Hebrews, even though we had 2 hours to talk about it. But very good questions.
Those are great questions.
We won't ask them during Issues Etc. 24.
Issues Etc. 24 is for Bible study, and the Didache, while very close in time, history, and perhaps even authorship to the New Testament, is still not in the New Testament. So we'll keep First Things First during Issues Etc. 24. We'll be right back.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
Christ Your Life, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Even though we die, we live. When a Christian breathes his last, no one dies. No one can die. For Christ has already died in the Christian's place.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon and an Ascension sermon for any size gift before Easter Sunday. Make a secure online donation today. IssuesETC.org. Thanks for your support during the season of Lent.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 28 minutes. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
In Brooklyn, New York, a teenager was arrested and charged with a felony. If found guilty, he could get 2 years in prison. What was his crime? He killed his little sister's hamster. I'm not kidding. Authorities even did an animal autopsy on the 4-ounce hamster to determine it died from being choked and squeezed. Now, I'm not for animal cruelty, but charging Big Brother with a felony for killing his sister's hamster? Come on. These are the same officials who look the other way when thousands of unborn human babies are killed in abortion mills. What's more, the right to legally kill innocent preborn children is not only tolerated, it's often celebrated in this New York City area, the abortion capital of the nation. America, you need to get your priorities straight.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, April the 8th. Issues Etc. 24 coming up here in about 25 minutes. The Issues Etc. book of the month for April is called The Lutheran Difference. In fact, a couple questions we're going to deal with here in just a moment via email have to do with what is distinctively Lutheran. Now, to say the Lutheran difference isn't to say that Lutherans are different on purpose or that Lutherans are different from whatever has come before us in Christianity. The Lutheran difference really is that we hold fast to what the apostles and the prophets teach in Holy Scripture and what the church, at times, not as well as it could have, but what the church has historically taught on subjects that Scripture speaks clearly on. So the difference is really actually the fact that we are the same as the church has always been. The Issues Etc. book of the month for April, The Lutheran Difference, I highly recommend it. It deals with all sorts of subjects. And of course, it's not going to speak beyond where Scripture speaks, and it's not going to speculate into areas where the Bible doesn't have anything to say. That, again, is part of the Lutheran difference. Find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org, or order The Lutheran Difference, an explanation and comparison of Christian beliefs from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040.
Here's an email from John. He listens in Amsterdam, Netherlands. Could you point me to the passages in the Bible that justify saying there are people I can have fellowship, fellow Christians, with whom I do not have fellowship? Let me start this over. Could you point me to the passages in the Bible that justify saying there are people I can call fellow Christians with whom I do not have fellowship, and there are those with whom I do have fellowship? Yet I am not saying that there are not fellow Christians by not having fellowship with them. Could you point me to the passages that indicate that the former category exists in the Bible, people considered to be fellow Christians, I do not fellowship with them, for example, have communion with? Thanks for listening in the Netherlands, John.
Okay. This could be something of a trick question. Whenever you hear, can you show me the passage, that sometimes, not always, but sometimes is a trick question. The inquiry is made knowing that there isn't a specific passage that says thus and so. But of course, that's not how we do theology. We don't always do our theology from direct passages of Scripture that say thus and so. Often, what we teach from Holy Scripture is brought together from many passages. It is the consensus of many passages. Let's just say, for the sake of, let's talk about the two natures in Christ, or the relationship of the persons of the Trinity. None of these things are taught explicitly in passages or formulated the way that, say, the creeds formulate that. But that doesn't mean it isn't scriptural teaching. It is derived from all that is taught about, say, the Trinity or the two natures in Christ and their relationship to one another. So, there is no specific passage that says there's someone you can regard as a Christian but still not have formal Christian fellowship with them. When I talk about fellowship, I don't mean we won't shake their hand or we don't regard them as Christians. When I talk about fellowship, I'm talking about something very specific, and that is, do you commune, receive the Lord's Supper with them? That's fellowship. That is a biblical concept of fellowship. It is all centered around the Lord's Supper. Now, Paul teaches this quite clearly, that there is a kind of fellowship that is only among Christians. He talks about there not being any communion between the table of the Lord and the table of demons. That's between believers and unbelievers. So there already is a distinction of communion fellowship. What does the Bible tell us to do? And Christ in particular. Avoid false teachers. Paul will say, those who teach falsely, those who cause divisions among you by teaching falsely, this is Romans 16:17, mark and avoid them. And he's not just talking about avoiding them on the street. He's talking about avoiding them in terms of formal Christian fellowship. He doesn't say they're not Christians necessarily, but he does say they cause divisions and they teach falsely. It all has to do with Christ's admonition against false teaching, false prophets, a false gospel. Wherever these things are found, they threaten Christian fellowship. At the same time, Scripture is very clear when it teaches that what makes a Christian, even an erring Christian, that is a Christian who does not believe rightly in all matters, according to Scripture, what makes a Christian is nothing other than, nothing more than, nothing less than, faith in Jesus Christ as the atoning sacrifice for one's sin. So this is a kind of a conclusion that we draw. Can someone believe wrongly, even to the point that we cannot say that we will commune with them, and yet still, by what theologians have called felicitous inconsistency, that a happy inconsistency, can they still at the same time be a Christian? That is, believe in Jesus Christ as the atoning sacrifice for their sins? And the answer to that question is yes. So that's how I'd answer that one. And if you say, show me this specific Bible passage that says someone can be a Christian and yet you do not have fellowship with them, there isn't any specific Bible passage. But again, there aren't specific Bible passages for a lot of things that the church continues to confess. But that doesn't mean these things aren't taught in Scripture.
James writes, do you hold to a Christ-centered, church-centered view of Revelation 6, 1 and 2, as well as the 144,000 in Revelation 7, or the now popular Antichrist view as heavily promoted by many evangelicals today? Thanks for listening and thanks for the email, James.
Well, I think the listener has rightly distinguished between the two ways of reading Revelation. There is a Christ-centered way of reading Revelation, and then there is an Antichrist way of reading Revelation. I mean that quite literally. There is one that reads the book of Revelation and finds therein primarily the revelation of Christ himself in his saving work, in his sacrifice at the cross and resurrection and ascension into heaven that is ongoing in the life of the church. And then there's a way of reading the book of Revelation that kind of sets that off to the side, maybe even makes that secondary, and looks for Revelation's fulfillment in things like the rise of a political antichrist, the rise of the nation state of Israel. These are two different ways of reading the book of Revelation. I adhere to the first one, and that is, you don't even have to read three or four words into the book. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how the book begins. The revelation of Jesus Christ. So you know what you should be reading for. You know what the center of the book of Revelation is already before you've read three or four words in the first verse. And then you can go on and say, all right, we know who Christ is from the rest of the New Testament. So these things that I'm going to find confusing, and you will in the book of Revelation, they must be read in light of what we already know of Jesus Christ from the rest of the New Testament and the Old Testament. And then the book becomes a lot clearer because you're not looking for which headline today or tomorrow fulfills which verse. You're not trying to match verses to headlines or verses to the latest news bulletin on CNN or Fox News. You're not interpreting Scripture in light of today's current events or geopolitics. You're interpreting Scripture in light of Scripture, the way Scripture would have itself, whether it's the book of Revelation or the Gospel of John, the way that Scripture would have itself be rightly interpreted. So the answer to that question is, yes, I hold to a Christ-centered view. And to have a Christ-centered view is to see its fulfillment also in the church, that all these promises are come to their fulfillment in Christ as he continues to work through his church to bring all men to salvation.
This is Frank in Las Vegas. I'd like to comment about the Thursday, March 31st session of Issues, etc., where you were discussing the Lutheran symbolical books. And you had a couple of guest pastors, Pastor Charles Hendrickson and Pastor Chris Eskett. And during the discussion, I was just reminded of an exchange I had with my associate pastor over a year ago when we were briefly going through the Book of Concord, the Lutheran Confessions. I noticed that this particular pastor, this LCMS pastor, equated the Lutheran Church in general and the LCMS specifically with all other Lutheran sects. He failed to state that he thought that we had the correct understanding of the Holy Scriptures by way of the word and sacrament ministry, and he would not state as much. I think this is a real deficiency to have that type of attitude. The reason that you're Lutheran is because you believe in the means of grace, and to the extent that all other sects and denominations do not hold to those confessional writings, they're deficient. And this needs to be stated, and we need to stand up for what we believe, know what we believe and why we believe it, and it should be communicated to the lay people more effectively. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's a very wise observation. It is also a saddening observation that there would be a Missouri Synod, a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastor, who would be unwilling to say that what he vowed was the truth when he became a pastor, the very vow upon which he was admitted into the pastoral office by ordination, that he's unwilling to hold to that vow any longer. Or that, who knows, maybe he never took it seriously, and that he was lying when he said that he holds the Lutheran confessions. This is what makes a Lutheran. He holds the Lutheran confessions to be a true exhibition and explanation of Holy Scripture. It's a sad observation. He should probably find a different church to pastor in. Really. I mean, if he wants to be honest. We'll be right back.
And make believe it came from you.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Trinity Lutheran, Brooklyn, New York. Hope Lutheran, Birmingham, Alabama. Our Savior Lutheran, Paradise, California. St. John Lutheran, Ray, Michigan. Peace with Christ Lutheran, Fort Collins, Colorado. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Kimberling City, Missouri. The Lutheran Church of Our Savior, Salinas, California. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, Colton, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org and click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Issues Etc. 24 begins in 14 minutes. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. In just a few minutes, we'll be picking Issues Etc. Blog of the Week, and then in about 20 minutes, we're going to be starting Issues Etc. 24 live hours of Issues Etc. Bible study, 12 books, 12 guests, and 24 hours of live Issues Etc. starting at 4 o'clock today, Friday, April the 8th, Central Time, running till 4 o'clock tomorrow, Saturday, April the 9th, Central Time.
Are you fired up? Are you ready to go?
I am seldom fired up about anything. So
this is true.
I am ready to go. I am prepared, but I don't get fired up about a lot of things. So
Craig and I were thinking maybe if we snuck some cats in the studio, that it might make you a little more cheerful. And
can I have your permission to bring some over?
No,
I have plenty. I'll keep them in here.
No, please don't. They're delightful.
Now that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. I can't guarantee they'd be quiet all the time, but I can think of some cats that would greatly enjoy coming over for Issues Etc. 24.
The only cat that I'd like you to see bring with you is the Sonata cat.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming. I don't think he...
too much theology going on.
Yeah, there's too
there.
Much theology.
Sonata cat.
It's too Lutheran. This
on.
Is not his crowd. I mean, plus he's got things to do over there at the International Center. He never leaves, you know.
Wants to listen to Bible study that actually studies the Bible.
Yeah,
come on.
He's too busy transforming churches and doing all those. He's too busy doing real mission work, doing real important mission work over there in his cubicle, where most mission work actually takes place, in cubicles. He's too busy over there doing that. So I don't think we'll see him. Although, being at a nocturnal activity, we might see the confession owl at some point make an appearance. But I don't think he's going to come in here. He'll just fly around outside confessing Christ, as he always does. So,
okay. Don writes, do you have a template either for bulletin legal folded once or handout sized available for copy and distribution for worship service or narthex distribution? Thanks for the email, Don.
Does he mean like a general issues, et cetera, bulletin thing?
Yes.
Okay. Well, since we are proximate to issues, et cetera, 24, we do have a bulletin for issues, et cetera, 24. This is remarkably late to be telling people about it. I mean, we've been telling them about it for several weeks now. But if you want to get a hold of issues, et cetera, 24's bulletin schedule, you can find it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. It's right there at the top of the page for you to download and print off, if only for your own benefit. We also have a regular Issues Etc. bulletin blurb that is at the same support page, issuesetc.org, click support, right in the middle of the page, two paragraphs that you can use, alternative paragraphs that you can use. Your secretary, your pastor can put them into the church bulletin every Sunday, and they're changed early every week. Usually around Tuesday morning, we change those so that people can prepare with their bulletins. We are working on an Issues Etc. poster that we'll be making available to our listeners to put in the narthex on bulletin boards and things like that. I think it's actually done. We just haven't figured out how we're going to make sure people know about it.
Yeah, and by poster, it's not going to be...
Not poster size. It's actually just going to be something you can post. So, I mean, because the way we want our... We're concerned about saving costs here, both for ourselves and for our listeners. We do not have Sonata Cat's budget. We do not have a budget that is virtually unlimited and that can be replenished at will just by, you know, fiats of boards of directors. We need to watch what our listeners and what we spend. So everything we make available to you on PDF version at our website so that no cost is incurred to our listeners in doing this, save the cost of one sheet of paper in running it off. And we keep our costs down too, which is, you know, just about being responsible. Because again, we do not have, you know, we do not have the big deep pockets and budgets that the Sonatocrats grow accustomed to.
You know, the poster is done. You did a good job putting that together, but we're waiting to launch the poster at the same time that we launch the issues, etc. business cards that you can hand out to people.
Yeah, that's a little more difficult. The business cards are slightly more difficult because we're trying to figure out the format. That's just the technical problem we're running into there. So happy to provide both of those for our listeners.